to the YONation.com podcast, the only podcast dedicated to University of Wyoming athletics.
You are listening to the YONation.com podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith, and I'm joined, as always, by the founder of YONation.com, Mr. Brad Reed.
Hello there, fellow internet football fans. It's time for football season.
Yeah, cheer for that. So if you are listening to this, it is August 18th, which means we are getting closer and closer to another season of Wyoming Cowboy football.
Who's not excited about that? Fall camp is underway. We're about 3 weeks from kickoff. We've got, you know, North Dakota, whatever, coming to town. I don't know what they're calling themselves nowadays. I'm sure they'll figure that out. What's not to be excited about?
Yes. Yeah, so welcome to this edition of the podcast, and this is our Wyoming offensive preview. We're going to break down who the Cowboys have at each of the positions on the offensive side of the ball. And just guess as an ad, we didn't talk about this in the last podcast, but I'll do it now. If you are missing Dave Walsh's voice, if you're having withdrawals, please go to wyonation.com and find our interview that we did with him early in this summer, or was it spring? I can't remember.
It's in May, all the way back in May.
Okay, so that's spring / summer. So if you need to hear Dave's voice and you have not checked out that interview, it's a timeless interview to where you could listen to it today and it'll be just as pertinent as it was the day we recorded it. So if you need a little Dave in your life, check that out. Otherwise, are you ready to talk some football?
I am ready to talk some football. I can talk your ear off about football.
All right.
Oh, wow, a new sound effect this
Hooray
week.
Hooray for football. Yes. So let's start where it all starts there, Mr. Brad, and that is at the quarterback position.
Ooh, quarterback. Well,
yes. Well, hold on here, actually. Let's first just get a general overview. On the offense, Wyoming returns 5 starters. Those would be offensive lineman Ryan Cummings, another offensive lineman in Rafe Kiley, another offensive lineman, there's 3, holy crap, in Chase Roullier. Then you got yourselves a fullback in Drew Van Manen, and then running back Sean Wick. So those are your 5 returning starters to this year's squad.
And quite a few guys in there that have had significant playing time, like Jake Mulhart, Tanner Gentry,
yes,
Jacob Hollister, guys like that.
Mm-hmm. And so we will get to them.
We got a lot of guys coming back that have seen, you know, a fair amount of playing time, yes, over their Cowboy careers. And Brian Hill, obviously, going to see a few carries this year, I imagine.
Okay. Let's move on to the quarterbacks then. Sorry, I jumped out of order there on you.
That's fine.
So quarterback-wise, let's just go through the list. Everybody should be familiar with the position, but, you know, you never know. Sometimes I don't know.
Yeah, this year we've got Indiana transfer Cameron Kaufman coming in, redshirt senior from Peculiar, Missouri. I don't know what's so peculiar about that town, but
that is exactly correct.
And he looks like he's the starter right now, and he brings a little bit of starting experience with him from Indiana. I think he played as, like a sophomore?
That is right.
2,200 yards, something like that.
Yes, he had some good numbers. He had some good games against some Big Ten defenses. I think I'm fairly certain that he threw the ball for over 300 yards against Michigan State, which, you know, the past 5 years has had one of the toughest defenses in the country.
Granted, Indiana's not a great team, but they did go to a more air raid style offense, and he was able to do a little bit of damage against college football's premier defense. There's not many defenses in the country, as Cowboy fans got to see last year, better than Michigan State.
That is right. So yeah, he's 6'2", 197 pounds. I didn't know he was that thin. And unfortunately for us, he is a redshirt senior. So this will be his one and only season with the Cowboys.
You know, I think that's perfectly okay, though, because he's going to be a nice bridge right there between him and Josh Allen.
That is right, and we'll talk about Josh here, but I just wanted to finish up with Cameron. The coaches this week, you may have heard, said that he was way ahead of where the quarterbacks were last year. So, you know, Colby Kirkegaard, bless his soul, he was put into a tough situation in the third-string quarterback
last year.
Yeah. So we did pretty well. And so this year it's a big upgrade with Cameron Kaufman, who is coming from that spread system at Indiana. But the coaches say that he's really studied this offense and he's starting to make the proper reads in this West Coast style offense that Craig Bull prefers.
Yeah, and you know, he's coming into, you know, a schedule that's not going to be nearly the murderer's row that last year was. So, you know, you figure the quarterback play was probably would have gotten us one or two more wins last year, and this year with an easier schedule, it'd be hard to imagine that we'd regress any.
Yeah, so it's hard to really say too much else because we haven't seen him play in a Wyoming uniform. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how he looks. But as you said before, he is a guy who has started games in a BCS conference, so we should be in good hands. Other quarterbacks on the roster include, as Brad mentioned, Josh Allen. He is a sophomore. He is a JUCO transfer who just came in. And then we got two other guys, Nick Smith, a redshirt freshman, and then Aaron Yun, who was a junior college transfer last season, and he'll be a junior. So Allen right now is Kaufman's backup.
And it appears from what we've been reading, and I haven't seen this for myself, that Josh Allen possibly has a rocket cannon arm.
Oh, no, he is. I've seen his film. He can make all the throws, and he's incredibly mobile. So
he's a big guy, too.
He's 6'5", 210. Yeah.
He's a big boy.
And he could move. I mean, yeah, I didn't know he was that big. When I saw film of him, he's just, you know, 60, 70-yard runs on his highlight film in JUCO.
It's probably like watching Randy Johnson run the bases.
No, he's a fluid runner. It's not awkward at all. That's why I was shocked that he was so big.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so we look to be in good hands there. And so let's hope that Kaufman can stay healthy and that Allen can redshirt this season and then have 3 years to possibly be the starter. That's what everybody's hoping for. You've seen a lot of both the Star in Casper and the Cheyenne paper have wrote articles about that, saying really it's Cameron and Allen are the only two who are anything close to being able to play a game at the D1 level right now.
Yeah, and there's plenty of time for them to grow to let Aaron Young and Nick Smith get their feet under them as it goes.
That's right. So the quarterback position, not a lot of depth, but we got two guys in there who they think could get the job done. So it is going to be interesting to see how everything plays out there. So any other comments on the quarterbacks there, Brad?
Man, 20, 25 touchdowns, 10 or less interceptions. I think that would be a very productive season for us. And limiting the turnovers, obviously. Limiting the fumbling, I guess I should say. Yeah, I think that would be 25 touchdowns would be a very realistic and fun goal to have.
Okay, so you have the stats up from last year?
I do.
So what was Kierkegaard at in terms of his touchdowns, the INTs? I forget already.
He was at 12 touchdowns, 10 interceptions.
Okay, so yeah, so think if we could get the 20 and 10, that's a huge improvement to where our offense could be very good, and it's all going to rely on the running backs. So I like to do this in some of the shows. We close out the topic with the ceremonial gong.
Man alive. How much should we pay these guys for the sound effects?
Not enough. All right, running backs. Let me just run down the list, and then I'll let you have first shot at your punditry. Wyoming has Nico Evans. He's a redshirt freshman. Milo Hall, he is a freshman out of the Denver area. You got Brian Hill, of course. He's a sophomore. Kellen Overstreet, he's another freshman. Joshua Tapscott, he's a sophomore. And then, of course, you got the senior Sean Wick. So there's the stable of running backs on the roster right now. Brad, what are your thoughts?
It's pretty hard to imagine that there's another Mountain West team that has the running back depth that Wyoming does as a 1-2 punch. And even Josh Tapscott is showing a lot of improvement this offseason so far. But as far as a thunder and lightning combo goes, and I'm not even sure they're both thunder and lightning. They both look like thunder to me. Man, this is just two backs that are going to punish the Mountain West this year. Before Wick's injury, he was on his way to a very, very good season. and Brian Hill stepped right in his shoes and decided to go for 400 yards or close to that against Fresno State.
Yeah, just an average freshman performance.
Yeah, no big deal. So it's just really – it's hard to imagine that the Cowboys won't run for at least 2,000 yards this year.
Yeah, Gibby, you got the numbers from last year?
Yeah, I think as a team we ran for – then I clicked off the tab – 1,838 yards.
Okay, and it wouldn't surprise me
– 53 a game.
Yeah, if we didn't get above 2,000 due to the fact that we have a better quarterback, so we'll be able to be more balanced, maybe have more production in that passing game. So that's something to consider, but the running back game is going to be very strong.
Yeah, it just – you know, if – knock on wood or whatever my desk is made of, one of these two backs goes down, I can't imagine that they're – you know, the other one wouldn't be able to step in and shoulder the carries and, you know, keep the team moving and, you know, having Tapscott and Kellen Overstreet right there too.
That's right. So just some notes right now. If you haven't heard, Sean Wick did not practice today with a minor concussion. So that's something to be a little bit concerned about, given his history with concussions. But they think he's going to be okay long term, more of a precautionary thing. And then the other word on the street is that the true freshman Overstreet is actually the third running back right now. And if you remember from our recruiting show, Overstreet is actually a parade All-American. So he's a very talented player, and it wouldn't surprise me if he got into that running back rotation early in this season.
And he, if I remember right, was the back that ran for, what, like 4,000 yards or something like that?
Yeah, he's one of the leading rushers in the country in high school.
Yeah, 42-59 last year on 401 carries.
Yeah,
fourth highest single season record in high school history.
Yeah, so that's some production. So, hey, great recruiting job by Bowl and his staff to get him to come here. And so the running back position looks very, very strong. And, hey, that's the bread and butter of this program. So
ball control,
this is how things need to be from now on.
Yep. Yeah, that's – man, we're in good hands for a little bit here with these running backs.
Man, it seems very similar with Bowles' Nebraska background. Back in the day, Nebraska would just, you know, whoever, hey, they could be down to the fourth string guy. The system is there to where you're going to be able to run the ball. And that's what we're trying to develop here at Wyoming is, hey, no matter what, we're going to have a back who can get you those tough yards when they're needed.
Yeah, I don't know. If the offensive line does their part, this team is going to run the ball and run the ball and run the ball. Defenses are not going to want to face this offense.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's give some love to the fullbacks. I guess we have to lump them in here.
Might as well.
You have, I guess, Drew Van Manen's the returning starter, but Jordan Ellis played quite a bit too last year.
Yep.
And then another guy listed on here is Matt List. I don't know who he is. He's a redshirt freshman.
Young guy from the Springs.
Okay, and then you have the guy from Cheyenne, and he's got some Polish name. I won't even attempt to butcher it. Are you going to take a stab at it? Make a fool of yourself?
I was just going to click on the link to see if they had a pronunciation of it.
Well, I got it here. Hold on here. Let me look.
And he's actually from Billings High School or Billings Senior High School.
Oh, he's not from Cheyenne. Oh, well, I'm not even close to being right. They don't have his name on the dang pronunciation guide.
That sounds right. Sisirski.
Yes, Zierski.
That sounds good.
Yeah, he's not on the list anyway. So he's there.
He's got some growing to do, but he might punish a couple fellas.
So, but on the two deep depth chart here, I do believe it is Van Manen and Ellis. Is that correct? Entering fall camp. Okay, so those are your guys, and they did well last year, and they should only improve with another year in the system.
Another year of plowing a hole for the backs.
So, yeah, I'm really excited about this group of running backs. And it's probably the best group we've had since the days of the Lightning and Thunder, as you said, when we had, Devin Moore and Seldon.
Yep.
I think these guys are way more talented than both those guys.
Yeah, none of them seem to have the Devin Moore aspect to their game, but they will run you over and punish you, yes, as it were.
And I guess we're not even mentioning that, remember, DJ May, who was also a very productive running back, is moved to the defensive side of the ball. So that's how good shape we are at this position, where they took another guy who, if he was healthy, could get 1,000 yards easy in a season if he was the featured back. He's been moved to defense.
DJ May was really the lightning of that running back core, too. So it'll be exciting to see what he can do on defense with that speed and give us some depth where we're where we sorely need it on the defensive side of the ball.
All right, sir, let's move to the wide receivers, and I will let you do the honors of running down. I mean, maybe not all of them. There's a bunch, but the important ones, and then I'll give my thoughts first.
Say, this isn't a wide receiver core like what we're used to from the Dave Christensen days, but we've got some pretty talented kids in here. We've got your starters being Jake Mulhart and Tanner Gentry. They've got a freshman coming in, D'Amico Doddles, who seems to have a lot of talent. We've got Justin Berger coming back. He's seen quite a bit of playing time over his 3 years of college football. Jacob McGarvin, he's from my hometown of Worland, Wyoming, coming back as a sophomore. Justice Murphy, he's another true freshman from Washington who has immense talent as well. Then quarterback turned wide receiver Tom Thornton is out there. So instead of throwing the passes, he'll be catching them this year. And we did take a little depth hit in the wide receiving core with Tanner Simpson having a injury that could end his football career.
Yeah, some kind of stress fracture in the foot. Is that right? Yeah, it's too bad. That's a tough injury to come back from.
I think it was one that he played through last year and just kind of got progressively worse.
Mm-hmm. And you missed another guy on this list, and I haven't heard much about him in camp in the but it's C.J. Johnson out of Nebraska, who was another highly touted guy who Nebraska came in on very late in the process, and he held true to his commitment. So
there's a lot of young guys on this receiving core.
That's right. So as you said, we got the two starters in Gentry and Mulhart, but they're more kind of your possession guys. And so they're really looking out of this freshman class for some speed. Some playmakers, and doing my research, reading all the reports from practice, the two guys who seem to be standing out, the two freshmen, are James Price and Justice Murphy, who I think are both out of the state of Washington. Is that correct?
Yeah, that would be – yeah, that looks right to me, too.
Okay, so we have a duo from Washington who, according to the practice reports, are really stepping up. And so both those guys are probably going to play quite a bit. And we have – I know Doddles was mentioned as well. So,
yeah.
So just, we'll see. You don't know until the lights are on and they're playing real games. So,
man, looking at the roster here, there's like 10 freshmen in this receiving core.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Which is exciting. Think, you know, if – you're going to have your attrition, but think 3 or 4 years now. If we have, you know, 4 or 5 of these guys stick around and they're productive, think how good the offense could be at that point in time. Yeah,
it looks a lot like a Dave Christensen-style recruiting class with this many receivers.
Well, because we lost them all last year, so that's why.
You know, funny, I read a story about Josh Doxson the other day, and I was like, oh, he could have been one of ours.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's at TCU, yeah.
And he's a very good wide receiver.
He's tearing it up there. Mm-hmm.
That just made me sad. I was like, oh, he was ours.
It is sad. He's a horny toad now.
Yeah, these wide receivers, though, I think when Tanner Gentry was recruited, he was a very, very recruited receiver and very talented.
He was, and yes.
It's going to be really exciting to see him as the, you know, the go-to receiver this year, having Dominic Rufran, you know, graduated now. It'll be really exciting to see what he'll do for us.
Man, he's only a junior, so he has time to improve, too.
Yeah, and Jake Mulhart, man, he's a huge target out there.
Mm-hmm. And Mulhart's claim to fame, I don't know if you know this, but I think he set the national record for most catches in a game.
Wait, what?
In high school. Yeah, he had some crazy game where he had like, I don't know, Google his name. I think it was something like 40 catches in a high school game in California.
Wow.
Or like, yeah, it was crazy.
But then again, he's thrown to a basketball backboard. So
yeah, because he's 6'6". So yeah, look that up. Do some on-air research.
California record holder Mulhart.
There we go. Yeah, is that popping up anything?
You know what's awesome about clicking on Star Tribune these days is answering questions.
Oh, yes. Do you like Cocoa Puffs? Have you heard of Cocoa Puffs?
Against the Canyon Cowboys, Mulhart caught 28 passes for 347 yards and 3 touchdowns.
There we go.
That's a couple passes.
That's a lot. Yeah, I knew it was something crazy. I saw it on YouTube. And then I just, you know, it's one of those things when it happened, it made all the national news. And then, you know, that next year, oh, he's walked on at Wyoming.
Perfect.
So I was like, that's interesting. So, yeah, that's his claim to fame. What, 28 catches in a high school game? That's insane.
Running backs don't even get that for carries.
No, yeah. So, all right, so that's the wide receiver group. Let's talk here a little about the tight ends. And this is another group that I'm excited about. It's very thin, though. I didn't know we only had three.
Very young, too.
Yeah, you have Jacob Hollister, who was our starter last year, and he was pretty productive in his first year in the system.
Makes a great T-shirt, too.
I think he had about 20 catches. You looked that up?
I haven't looked it up.
We do that. And then you have two redshirt freshmen.
17 catches.
Okay, so I'd expect that to maybe double because he was basically our only tight end last year. So now we have three. You also have redshirt freshman Grant Lewis and then Tyree Mayfield, both who are, you know, in that same size. They're all about 6'4", 220 pounds. So it's a good frame to be able to block on the edge of the line to help the offensive line out and, you know, get downfield for those intermediate passes, you know, 5-6 yards down the field.
And we actually had a new tight end convert this week with Casper's Josh Harshman moving over to the tight end spot.
Good point. I had that on my little notes, and they did that, and they said he's responded very well.
Yeah. It was a pretty seems like a pretty natural switch for him at this point, and will probably benefit him in the long run as a
Which
Cowboy.
Is good, yeah, because I had questions about his size and his athletic ability as a linebacker. So I think tight end is a good spot for him.
Yeah, he would have needed some growth on his frame to be a Division I linebacker, but as a tight end, you know, put on weight, 6'3", 207.
Okay, so he still has to put on maybe 10 pounds to be a bigger tight end. But yeah. Instead of having to put on, you know, 20 or 30 to be a linebacker.
Yeah, I think he'll be very good in that position.
So expect a lot more production out of the tight ends, and that's going to help the passing game and make the running game even more important, and it's going to allow Bowl to do what he wants, and that is double tight end sets, which you didn't get to see a lot of last year because we only had one tight end.
Did we even have a tight end during Dave Christensen's era?
No, we didn't. That's why we're down to that's why we have three new guys on the roster.
That's why we don't have any right now.
But they're building it up. And they moved to the tight end to the offensive line during the summer, too. And it sounds like that adjustment's going pretty well at this point in time.
Yeah, Jacob Hollister will be leading the group, and he did a fine job last year. I can't imagine he wouldn't be good this year as well.
Yeah, and I think these two other guys are going to be better. They just needed some time to get a little more weight, and now they're all about the same size, as I just said. So pretty exciting times there at the tight end position, a position that, you know, traditionally at Wyoming, when we've been very good, we've always had a very good tight end.
You know, it seems like we had this pretty good tight end that played for us for a few years. Might have been a Dallas Cowboy, too.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, he's only in the – I think he's in the College and Pro Football Hall of Fame, right? Is he in the Pro Hall of Fame?
I don't think he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
No, I think he's in the
College Hall of Fame.
He's in the College Hall of Fame for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jay Novacek, you know. If we even got half the production that one of these guys, that would be swell.
Mm-hmm. So we're looking forward to that. And I guess that gets us back down to the last position, the Big Nasties.
Big Nasties.
So obviously, there's so many to talk about, so let's just run down the depth chart right now as we stand. And I did as much research as I could here, Brad, and it seems nobody's really talking about the offensive line. I can't really find any notes about who's playing where. I didn't look too hard, but I didn't see any articles that just focused on the offensive line, which is good because that means that it's not a big problem.
In seasons past, we've read and talked about the offensive line, and oh God, I hope the quarterback doesn't die this year. You know, I think we can attribute Brett Smith running for his life a few times because of lack of depth on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And this year it's like, there's nothing. Like, nobody's talking about the offensive line, so they're there and they're doing work and doing their jobs, and, you know, no news is good news, I would assume. And, you know, like you mentioned at the very beginning of the show, three of the five guys are returning starters. And that's a big deal.
No, it is a big deal. And we had a lot of turnover in the offseason, which is not surprising. The offensive line struggled mightily switching from the spread to the pro. So now Bowles kept the guys who he trusts to run his system, and we're going to have some freshmen who I think fit his system who are going to work their way into the mix too. Mm-hmm. So let's just run through these. It's hard to say.
This really might, just looking at the roster real quick, this might be the deepest we've seen it in a few years.
Yes, and the biggest thing to me is when you look at their size and weight, they're actually, you know, the size of a Division I offensive lineman instead of having, you know, there's days where we had 240-pound guys on our offensive line, which just isn't going to cut it these days. So everybody in this group is, you know, 280, 290,
boy, look
where
at,
you want them to be.
Look at the stats on 6'6", 314, Ryan Cummings.
He was a beast last year.
He was very, very successful as a true freshman playing on that offensive line. And, man, this kid's only going to get better as he goes on.
Uh-huh. And you have Roulier next to him, another returning starter. At center, they actually have Keeley listed second, but I think that's because he was hurt during the spring.
It's possible, because if you look at the other centers on the roster, two redshirt freshmen and a true freshman on that center. We've heard some good things about Charlie Renfrey. But still, you know, for a center, he needs 30 more pounds on him at least.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine that we'll go into the season with any of the freshmen starting at the center position.
Yeah, that left side looks good. You got the center, the left guard, and the left tackle all returning. It's the right side where we have replacements. Right now, heading to camp, a converted defensive lineman, Troy Boylan, is your right guard. And then Taylor, is it Kanetis?
Taylor Nestis. He had quite a bit of playing time last year, too.
That's right. And he's from Lakewood, Colorado. I did not know that.
That's your hood, man.
There we go. That's where I'm residing these days. So, yeah. I don't know. Do you have any of the list of any of these incoming freshmen we could take a look at who might be able to?
No, I did notice that they've got a
profile
from Afton, Wyoming on there. Wyoming boy on the line.
Mm-hmm.
As well as Danny Bradfield from Laramie.
Okay, well, they're not to be rude, but they're not going to play. So tell me, son, you got any scholarship guys? Hold on, I got the list here.
I was going to say, Danny Bradfield's going to need to add about 70 pounds first.
I know guys who I looked at film. Let's see here. I don't see any of these guys. I don't remember their names. I know Caden Jackson's one guy, and Zach Wallace, who I think can do a job. They're both a little undersized, 6'7", 265, 6'2", 265, but you know, you get them into the weight room here before the season, they're probably already up to 275 by now.
Say, it seems like a summer with Zach Duvall, and you're put a few pounds on him, I'm pretty sure, in that weight program.
Yes, Duvall is a very good weight coach, strength and conditioning coach, I think.
Did you see the video of Uso Olive lifting the other day?
No, tell me about it. Tell us about it.
There was a video that Duvall had posted on Twitter the other day, and it was Uso Olive squatting 765 pounds twice.
Holy mackerel.
In case you guys are wondering, that's like a VW bug or something.
Probably, yeah.
Or maybe a Prius. I don't know.
So as you know, the strength and conditioning was really down at the end of Christensen's era. He valued speed more than strength in that spread system. And so there's been some work to do, and this guy truly is one of the best strength coaches in the country.
He helped put Khalil Mack in the NFL.
That's right. And he's certifiably insane if you follow him on Twitter and see some of the videos and stuff he posts.
Yeah, he is your very prototypical strength coach, but, you know, times like 1,000.
Yes. So, all right, so that wraps up our positional review. You got those stats still pulled up there?
I've got a lot of stats pulled up here,
okay, too. Yeah, well, remind our listeners again where we ranked in the country in scoring offense and how many points a game that we scored per game.
It wasn't many.
Well, yeah. don't remind us. I'm still crying.
Don't cry. That's sad for a man to do. Uh-oh. Oh, yeah, we were 107th last year
Ooh,
in
ouch.
Scoring offense. at 21.1 points per game.
Okay.
That's not good.
No. So if we kind of reach our goal to where we improve the interceptions, the touchdowns from 12 to 10 to 20 to 10, same that and a better passing game and opens up your running game a little bit more. I think our goal really should be to, you know, hit 27, 28 points per game.
Yeah.
How much would that jump us up the table?
Not as much.
Would it make us in the middle of the pack if we could be like in the, you know, in the 60s in offense?
Yeah, we'd be 60s.
Okay.
60s, 70s, somewhere there.
All right. So I think that's a fair goal for this team this season.
Yeah, 28 points per game should be doable. And, man, starting off with like North Dakota and Eastern Michigan and even Washington State, good Lord. I mean,
and App State too, that'll be tough. But you should be able to score points on them.
I would think we could score points on Washington State.
Yeah.
I think they play defense down there.
Yeah, and you got New Mexico. So things are looking – I think this offense is going to be much improved. I think that's safe to say.
Yeah, I think our rushing offense, you know, I think we were 71st in the country last year at 153 a game. And I can't imagine that if these guys are healthy and an offensive line that's, you know, got some experience under their belt, that they won't be able to improve on that number even. I think we can run the ball a lot more than we did last year and be much more successful at it. So
yes,
that'll be a nice change too. You know, if we can keep the turnovers down, you know, Kierkegaard only tossed 10 interceptions last year, which is not bad, but the touchdown to interception ratio was not good at all.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, I think that's going to wrap up our talk. Remember, you can find the WildNation.com podcast on iTunes. So I know all of you love your Apple phones, your iPhones. I don't have one because I hate them, but I know other people love them. So we hooked you up. iTunes, we're there. And then for you who are not on iTunes, we got Stitcher Radio, which is awesome. If you're an Apple person or you have some other platform, Stitcher Radio is the way to go. And you can download the WildNation podcast and listen to it, you know, as you drive to the game or as you go to work in the morning. Listen however you want, but we thank you for listening. And Brad is speechless.
I am totally speechless. That was a wonderful outro you had there.
Okay.
I'm excited for the season.
Yep. All right. So we'll be back next week where we will break down the defense, and that's going to be a lot more painful than this podcast was. Just a little preview there.
Yeah, that's I'm already self-medicating for that one.
So, all right, folks. So for Brad Reed, I'm Chad Smith saying go Pokes, and we'll see you next week.